Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's that time again for Successipes. We've got your recipe for success in business and living, and I'm your host, Lori Wilk, and it's great to say that we are live. Great to have you with us here today. Our topic today is one we're going to be talking about, speaking, and I'm very honored to have with us today Jim Kokoski, who is the president of Toastmasters, and welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here.
Please, I know many people have probably heard of Toastmasters, but I don't think that everybody really knows, you know, what Toastmasters does and about the background. So can you enlighten us a little bit about the background of Toastmasters?
Sure. So Toastmasters is a network of clubs around the world. We've got 15,000 clubs around the world in 126 countries. And people come to our clubs to work on their communication skills quite broadly and their leadership skills. So some people come and they join because they're simply dissatisfied with how they're doing in presentations. They know they can be better and should be better. Some people come because they've got a debilitating fear of speaking before groups. And some people come because they want to practice the soft leadership skills that they'll have an opportunity in Toastmasters to develop, and that will prepare them for promotions. So we've got those network of 15,000 clubs, and people come for those sorts of reasons and start participating in our supportive environment, in our structured program. And as a result of that, they become much more confident in their abilities to speak before large groups and small groups and interact with folks in a leadership capacity.
I love that. That's a great introduction to our show today. Would you share with our listeners, you're in the role as the president of this organization, share with our audience a little bit about your background.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll actually assume the president role in August of this year, so I'm currently president-elect. Well, my background, I joined this organization because initially, way back in the 80s, I was a computer programmer, and I was shy and awkward, and one day two engineers came to my desk. I worked at a large telecom, and they said, "Jim, you're a bright guy, but you say nothing during meetings, and you need help with that." So they took me to Toastmasters. Yeah, I love.
They dragged you. They dragged you, kicking and screaming. Did you object at first, or you just said, "Okay, I'll go"?
Well, you know, I joined immediately, but I honestly didn't say a word for the first three or four meetings, and that's unusual. But of course, eventually I did, and I progressed pretty rapidly, and it's been a wonderful path for me. So my professional background is, after serving as an IT professional for about 10 years, Toastmasters really opened up some opportunities for me and made me hungry for more change. And in my organization, I looked and I said, the sales and marketing guys are the people who make it happen. So I transferred into sales for 4 years, and then I transferred into marketing, and that's where I really found my niche. That's what I love to do, and that's where I spent the most of the remainder of my career up to this point.
So now, when you have that technical genius as a background to get you started, and then you combine in a field where you have that marketing capability, it's sort of like you have the whole package, because you can, I'm sure, use the technical to help you with the marketing, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think your first career really shapes the way you think, and I'm still very logical, and I like structure, although I realize that the world doesn't necessarily look that way, but I try to impart structure in whatever it is I'm tackling. But I must confess, the technical skills, the specific technical skills have long passed their best before date. But the way of thinking and the way of interacting with more technical people, that's still strong, and that is very helpful in doing things that I need to do.
That's great. Well, you hear that speaking is something that many people fear, or they say it's like the number one fear, out there. So it's great to have an organization like Toastmasters where people can come, and it's a safe environment for people to get started and learn different skills. Would you walk us through a little bit about the type of things people do at their Toastmaster meetings, so that the audience can get a feel for the, extensive direction of some of the programs that you have for the participants?
Sure. And actually, I'd like to go back even a little further to that than that, is to talk about how people end up joining, because if someone's interested in Toastmasters, they should go to our website, www.toastmasters.org. There's Find a Club on there, and you can find a listing of clubs in your local area or anywhere in the world if they happen to be traveling. And I'd recommend they send an email to the club and let them know they're going to be attending. Although that's not required, it's just good to send a heads up, and we'll welcome you warmly. And when someone comes as a guest, we sit them down and introduce them to the group. And typically, there's some nice applause for guests. We're a very supportive environment immediately for people who come in. And once they do start, they join, then we start getting people involved in projects like what we call table topics, which is an exercise in impromptu speaking. So at every Toastmasters meeting, we'll invite people who don't have a major function that night or day to do an impromptu speech. So we'll have a theme. It could be about life in South Florida. It could be on what's happening in social media today. It could be about an issue. It could be a fun topic, or could be a serious topic. But our purpose is not to stump people. It's to give them an opportunity to organize their thoughts, stand before a group, and express themselves eloquently. So table topics is really the entry point where we introduce people to public speaking. And those are typically 2 minutes long. So the goal is to get to 1 minute and be done in 2 minutes. And that's a wonderful training ground. So additionally, once somebody does that, we give them a manual that's got 10 assignments in it. And the assignments focus on specific skill areas, like such as organizational techniques, vocal variety, gestures, motivating an audience, inspiring an audience. So one of the interesting things about our program is that if somebody works through those speeches, they choose this precise topic. So if I was speaking on how to use vocal variety, I might speak about a sports event, or someone else might speak about going to the opera. But so you choose the topic to exercise a skill. And the purpose behind all those skills is to just get you fully exercising the breadth of the public speaking skills. Often when people start, they're very stiff and wooden, so it's important to get them using gestures to support their voice and to support their message. So if somebody works with those 10 projects, at the end of those 10 projects, we call them a competent communicator and invite them to work in some of our more advanced manuals.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you take it in stages for people to move ahead.
Very much so. It's self-paced. So one of the arts in any Toastmasters club is knowing when to push a little bit and when to back off a little bit. But it is self-paced, and sometimes people wait too long to do their first speech. The first speech, I should mention, by the way, is simply about yourself. It's 4 to 6 minutes long. We call it an icebreaker, and each of us is the expert in our own experience. So it's an easy topic for people to get up and talk about themselves, although often people are reluctant. They don't think they're very interesting, but Toastmasters clubs love hearing first speeches, icebreakers from people. We're also very
I love that. Big applause. Big applause on that. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And I think that's also exciting, because in the area of communication, if you can't communicate, look at what that stops you from doing. And I had that opportunity to work with some of the students that were in high school getting ready to transition into college, and I found that area of communication, they needed to know how they were going to communicate for interviews. So if they were going to apply to get into college, something like Toastmasters. Now, what about the age? Can they get in there at the end of high school, or do they have to be what's the age range for that?
Well, people can come as a guest at any point, but you do need to be 18 years of age or older to join Toastmasters. We do run some programs from time to time for younger folks, but you need to be 18 members to become a full participating member. And I'd like to pick up on something you said there.
Please.
May I?
Yeah.
So I've been through university twice, both as a mature student, once in my 30s and one in my late 40s. And I noticed students choosing to drop out of courses because they found out there was public speaking aspects in there. And that's debilitating. So it's really important for folks to learn to manage their nervousness, get confident in their abilities, and we'll never deliver a perfect presentation. But you need to feel strong in your skills that you can organize your thoughts and deliver them effectively to an audience.
And, I agree with you there totally. And I also like the idea that having these workbooks and having the assignments, people, as they go through, they're going to find, I'm sure, certain areas that are easier for them to work through, and then they're going to find other areas that may be more challenging, so that they really know where to put their emphasis to be able to build up their skills. So I think that's great. The other thing that I've heard about Toastmasters is that it's something that's very affordable for people to join. You hear a lot of people, well, they're going to go get a coach or they're going to get a consultant, and you start listening to, you know, what the costs are for doing those things. And for some people, they'll say, oh, I can't, you know, I can't afford that, or that's just too much. But I have I've heard that being part of Toastmasters is something that seems to be affordable. I don't know if you want to bring that up, or
I'd be happy to.
The access.
Sure, sure. Typically, the fees at any club in the world are about $100 to $150 per year for becoming a full member, and you'll get access to their meetings. Some clubs run every week, some clubs run every 2 weeks. There's some varying patterns, but once you become a member, you're a full member of Toastmasters International.
I love that. Now, the meetings with Toastmasters, also, again, what I had heard is that they tend to be shorter versus longer, that you're not attending for a three-hour type of meeting, so that a lot of people could get the meeting in at a breakfast or a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And can you speak a little bit about how that format takes place?
Sure. Some meetings are as short as 45 minutes, some of the lunchtime meetings. Some meetings are an hour, some most tap out at about 2 hours. But it's interesting because every club goes through the same sort of core areas, the table topics, which I mentioned, the impromptu speaking, the prepared speeches portion, and the feedback portion, the evaluation portion. So the fourth component is people are assigned to organize and plan and run the meeting, to chair the meeting, very valuable skills as well. So every club's got the same functions, but they might have some different timing aspects and some subtleties in how they run the meeting. But yes, 2 hours is the longest I've ever seen.
Okay. Now, I wanted to thank you for being traveling, and as you mentioned, you're on the road, and you've come in from Canada, if I'm correct, or you're from Canada.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what's happening for you here in South Florida, so that our audience can be aware.
Sure. So as I mentioned, we've got 15,000 Toastmasters clubs around the world, and we divide them into administrative units called districts. So I'm here visiting the District 47, which is Southeast Florida and the Bahamas. I'm here for the conference this weekend here in Fort Lauderdale. So I'm delivering some speeches. We're electing some officers to help guide District 47 folks for the coming year. We've got some speech competitions and some educational programs so people can help their clubs be stronger, how they can improve as individuals, and they can become stronger speakers and leaders.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So if for people that are in the media that would want to, because I write national business success articles, and if we wanted to see what's happening with you at the conference, what would be a big highlight that you'd want shared with the world?
You know, I think it's important to recognize the folks who are stepping forward and taking a leadership position within our organization. So I'd celebrate the folks who get elected to our senior positions. I'd celebrate the folks who the individual who will win the speech contest here this weekend, and I can speak some more about that. But I also celebrate the folks who come out for the first time to one of these conferences, because you know most Toastmasters will stay within their clubs, and that's fine. They can learn everything they need to know within their clubs. But it's really kind of interesting when you start networking with Toastmasters from other clubs and even other parts of the world, and you really learn about the diversity of the organization, the different approaches. It really helps round out the individual.
I love that. And so where is your conference here in Fort Lauderdale? Which venue?
Yes, it's at the Sheraton Cruise and the Sheraton here in Fort Lauderdale.
Sheraton at the Sheraton Brand in Fort Lauderdale. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We can always get more details on that. Now, when you said that, you know, you've been elected to be the president for the term that begins in the end of August, what was, you know, how did you just make that decision that you were going to step into, you know, wanting that role? Like, has it been something that you've been working on for a few years? How does that work in moving up on the leadership?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, there's several levels of leadership within Toastmasters, as there are in any organization. So I served as a district leader way back in 1999, and I finished that then. And I didn't step immediately to the next level in Toastmasters. It was important for me to exercise the skills outside of Toastmasters. In my viewpoint, I developed some wonderful skills serving as a district leader, and I got more involved with my board of trade back in St. John, New Brunswick, in Canada. And a few years later, I decided, well, it's time to run for the board. So I ran once and lost, and then I ran again, and I won for the two-year term. And then once again, once I completed that, I decided, you know, look, let's stretch the skills further, and I got more involved with my board of trade and another not-for-profit organization called LARSH, a worldwide organization. And finally, it was about 2010 when I decided, you know, it's time to throw my hat in the ring to serve as senior elected officer for Toastmasters. And I ran, I think it was 2011, and lost an election. And then the following year, I ran and set into these series of offices that lead me to the position of president this year.
That's amazing. Now, in the role of president, will you be in that pathway to have extensive travel like you started to do? Is that part of the role?
It is an important part of the role. So as president, in our five senior elected positions, the vice presidents and the past president, we serve three functions. One is to serve as an internal ambassador for Toastmasters. So that's to connect with our Toastmasters at events like we've got this weekend, to just check in and make sure we're doing a good job for each of our members. Secondly, is to serve as an external ambassador. So we're recognizing some organizations who support Toastmasters very well, in the sense that they've got clubs within their organizations. So tomorrow we're visiting Florida Light and Power and a couple of others who will get corporate recognition awards just as a thank you, and also just to reaffirm that we're delivering very good communications training and leadership training for their employees. And the third component is to serve as in these positions, to serve as the steering group for the broader board of directors. The board of directors is 19 people, and that's the third function. So the functions are to serve as the internal ambassador, external ambassador, and to guide the board of directors. And there is extensive travel involved, yes.
That's excellent. So you have to be in that, like you said, that position, or ready to take that on. Is out of the 15,000 clubs, I know you just mentioned talking about the Bahamas. Talk a little bit about, you know, how that operates down there and them embracing, you know, I guess, you know, being an international type of a location, what that's like for you to go in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was just came back from 3 days in the Bahamas, where we recognized again some organizations who've got some internal clubs. Atlantis Resort being one of them, who've got a very vibrant Toastmasters club, and several of the banks have got clubs within their environment. So, what I find fascinating is every club has the same structure and format, the four components that I mentioned: impromptu speaking, prepared speeches, evaluations, and some form of chairmanship. But each club's unique because of the people, because of the members. And so the folks in Bahamas are just so friendly, so outgoing. I was treated to many fine meals before the club meetings and sometimes after. So the clubs reflect the local cultures. But it's just fascinating for me to see the strength of the core components of the Toastmasters program when I visit a club in a different area.
And I think what you mentioned also that's very fascinating is because of the, you know, the recognition of Toastmasters and the fact that it's so established. I don't remember how many years Toastmasters has been going on. Can you just kind of enlighten me again on that? I forgot when it started.
90 years.
90. So with 90 years, oh my gosh. So you have this big, long history of Toastmasters. I'm always impressed when I read in the calendars of events about the corporations that have their own individual, you know, Toastmaster groups, right, you know, at their business location, and how many companies really, you know, have made that so important so that their own employees can, you know, build up these skills. I remember even out in Vegas at one point I went to visit, there was a Toastmasters group inside the MGM Resort and Casino, and, you know, I wasn't a a cast member or employee of that group, but I was able to go and visit on a particular event and have to get through security and all that stuff. And it was just really refreshing to see that the people inside the companies are really working on skills.
Yeah, and you know, we deliver tremendous value for organizations. And I like to refer to something I read some year ago that gave some very good perspective. There's a blog I read on Harvard Business Review by a gentleman named Jack Zinger, Z-E-N-G-E-R, and he wrote a beautiful 10-paragraph blog called We Wait Too Long to Train Leaders, and it made me think about what we do in Toastmasters. And in the blog, he wrote about how he'll do leadership consulting with large organizations, but he was asked to come in and speak to a special group because they were all 8-year-olds. And he wrote, you know, he spoke to the 8-year-olds about leadership, and he said they just got it. They understood it very well. But as he elaborated, he said leadership for 8-year-olds is not about crafting mission statements, and it's not about dealing with non-performers. It's about protecting the self-esteem of your colleagues, focusing on the problem and not the person or personality. And I read that and I said, those are skills for anybody at any age. And those are skills that all of our Toastmaster clubs enable, because when we bring in that new member and they do their first speech and, you know, it might not be very good, we protect their self-esteem and we point out some positives and give some gentle suggestions that can help them improve. And we focus on the problem or objectives, because you might give a speech in a Toastmaster club, Lori, and I might disagree with your opinion, but I'm going to give you feedback in your organization, your content, your delivery, your gestures, etc. So I'm proud to recognize that, and I recognize that some of the soft leadership skills that we help develop within organizations. And what I also loved with that blog is he then further wrote that he went back to his office after speaking to 8-year-olds, and he said to his folks, he said, when do people come to us for their first ever leadership training? So they looked at their data and they got it, and he said, 42 years of age. He said, okay, find out for me, when do these people get their first leadership positions? And he looked at that and he said, well, 28 years of age. So his question is, what's the basis for serving in leadership for those 14 years? So I really like to think about how Toastmasters fits in corporations and how we develop some leadership skills that we don't necessarily put on the pedestal, but learning to protect the self-esteem of our colleagues, learning to focus on problems and not persons or personalities or past failures. Those are such exceptionally strong leadership skills that are all too missing in our society these days, and I like to see people practice that in our Toastmasters clubs.
I love that. And I think you make such a good point, because when people get up and they are afraid and they are uncomfortable, the fact that they do open their mouth and something comes out and they contribute, if you don't support them, then chances are they're going to shut down and they will not so easily get up again and take that step and work on their skills or share their opinion. So I think that it's so important to be able to build up their self-esteem and to give them that feeling that they're safe, and inch by inch build up the confidence. And I think that you really demonstrate that with Toastmasters. And for our audience just listening in, I have had the great pleasure over almost the last half an hour to be speaking to the president-elect of Toastmasters, Jim Kakoski. Thank you. And you'll be able to click the link here on our show page for Toastmasters should you like to find out more. We will definitely put that on here. I'm really excited that you're here in South Florida and that you're here for the conference and that you're sharing with the audience a little bit about being involved in Toastmasters. What else would you like to share with our listening audience?
Well, I'd like to mention that, when people think about public speaking or communication skills in general or leadership skills, they should realize that they are skills, and you don't develop skills by reading books and by taking courses. Skills need to be exercised, and if you look at the sports venue, the athletes, they practice just the basic skills. So if somebody's got an opportunity to practice those skills in another environment, that's great. They can become exceptionally strong as a communicator and a leader. And if they don't have those opportunities to practice, then Toastmasters provides a wonderful, supportive, worldwide network that will enable them to apply their knowledge, to acquire new knowledge, and to practice that on a regular basis so they remain strong in those areas.
I love that. And as you mentioned, with the whole network of Toastmasters having 15,000 clubs, As you look down the roster of some of the clubs that exist in different countries in the world, do you find yourself saying, well, these are six places that I want to make sure I get to during the year? There has to be a – now, you're from you live in Canada most of the time?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just assuming that, like many Canadians, you are happier to get out of there in the wintertime unless you like the freezing temperatures.
Well, I'm a skier, Lori, but I like both. Yes, I love to travel, and honestly, okay. It's wonderful to connect with Toastmasters anywhere at any time because, you know, you go to a Toastmaster club, and everyone in that room is working on their self-development, and they're interested
right.
to help you in your self-development. So I'm happy to go anywhere. But my travels next year, there are some exciting opportunities, and they're not all confirmed because the dates need to line up. But line up, I'm going to places like South Africa and Melbourne, Australia, to Laos and Vietnam, Japan, where else? Prague, Poland. So some very exciting places to visit and wonderful to connect with some self-motivated individuals in those countries.
I love that. Now, how does the online and the internet connect into Toastmasters and the things that you do there? Are there Toastmaster, your own internal talk shows and blogs and social media presence? Talk a little bit about what happens in that online world for your organization.
Yeah, we've got several people who write blogs about Toastmasters and clubs who are very active in that in that area. We've got some clubs experimenting with virtual clubs. So we're working on managing a balance between face-to-face communication and in virtual clubs. You know, in the business world, there's lots of effective messages that are delivered via video or teleconference. So we're taking some steps to more fully embrace that and express a point of view to help our members participate in their professional lives. But I would say that the essence of our program remains face-to-face communication, because it's our opinion that when important messages need to be delivered, it's important to be in the room, see the faces, read the audience, adapt the message based on what you're seeing, and that's still more difficult with technology. So our bread and butter is face-to-face communication, but we are making some adaptations in the next couple of years to express a point of view around virtual communication.
I love that. Now, will we be reading any books that you are writing at this point coming up into the marketplace?
You know, I haven't talked with anybody about that, but I am considering documenting some of my experiences for people in senior elected positions like this, because I find myself delivering speeches in front of audiences, and I'm not always sure who's in the room. Are they members? Are they prospective members? Are they long-term members? So, Laura, you've got a similar experience where you need to be able to read that room quite well, vary the message based on who's there, vary the message based on how they're responding. So I think I've got something to say on that, and I very likely will put together something. I'm not sure what that's going to be called, but it's going to be based on my experiences this year in working with different audiences around the world and motivating a massive volunteer team around the world.
Wow, you said something important, too, that everyone there is volunteering.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, so all the leaders we've got, they've voluntarily stepped forward, run for election, been elected. So now it's our role to help them stay focused and manage the team dynamics that happen. You know, I don't shy away from conflict. It's conflict often happens in teams when you've got motivated individuals who disagree in a point of view, and usually it's minor and sometimes it's not. So that's I think a key professionalism skill that our folks get a chance to work on to make sure that it doesn't get out of hand, and that they can agree on a direction and an approach, have their point of view respected but perhaps not accepted and not acted upon as a team moves towards reaching a successful goal.
Okay, and I'm going to make sure again that I post here the actual link for the web, so I'm just going to have you repeat it one more time,
www.toastmasters, toastmasters.org.
Toastmasters.org, we will do that and get that posted on the website for everyone. And as soon as the show is over, it will go into the archive, and so we'll have a link for that that folks will be able to will be able to share that with you and your organization, and you'll be able to share that around the globe, and we do appreciate that. As far as you writing a book, when you have that book done, I invite you back to be a guest on my show to talk about your new book when it happens. And for those of you who have been listening, you know, if you have been hesitating or if you've been thinking about getting to a Toastmasters meeting and becoming a member, this would be a great time to get out there, go as a guest, find out what's available to you, participate and practice those communication skills. I'm your host, Lori Wilk. I've had a great opportunity here to be speaking to the president-elect Jim Kokoski of Toastmasters. And Jim, thank you so much for being on Successapes.
It's my pleasure, Lori. I enjoyed our conversation.
Yay, and until we get together again, everyone, be successful and be safe. Goodbye for now. Have a great time here in South Florida, Jim.
Thank you, Lori.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.